Sisera in their abodes. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. They came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nursed by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. The people gave a shout, saying, "It's the voice of a god and not of a man." And may the angel of the Lord smote him, because he had not gave God not the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Reading part of the first chapter of the book of Acts. I want to think with you tonight on angels, God's ministering spirits. We find over in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, and the fourth verse, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, we stop to recognize that he tells us of the ministering of God's angels. 14th verse. And they are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So many people are not conscious of the ministering spirits of God that minister to us as the heirs of salvation. You're saved by God's grace and you're one of God's children. You have ministering angels looking after you, assigned to you, designated to look after you. But we've had so many heresies taught. So much error has been promoted by Catholicism and other false doctrines that people lose sight of the real blessings of God sometimes. For example, the artists have done a lot of violence to the Word of God in the misrepresenting. I never saw a picture of Christ that to me was acceptable. They've all painted him as a little sissy, dainty, softy something. He's everything but that. He was a man of man. When he came by, the old rough fishermen followed him. The tax collectors followed him. When he came by, they gave him the right of way. That says to me that he was a real man. He's a man's man. And I find, my friends, through my experiences in life, that it takes a man to live a Christian life. If you're a sissy and a softy and a weakling and a coward, the Christian life's no place for you. It challenges everything about us, the manhood that's in us. You've got to have backbone and manhood and determination to live a Christian life. And Jesus was that type of fellow that set that example before us. But the artist that painted him is sort of sissy and soft and dainty. Many people, many men think of Christianity as something for the women folks, the weak-minded and the children because of it. But I want you to know, my friends, it takes more man in you to stand up for God and live for God than anything that ever come your pathway. The thing that challenged me to become a Christian, I used to be an athlete. I used to love to fight and wrestle and win the thing. But it took manhood and backbone and grit to do it. The thing that challenged me about the Christian religion was that it took a he-man to stand it. Any old trash can drift downstream. Any old dead carcass can float downstream. But my friends, it takes something with manhood and strength and power to go against the depravity of man and go upstream and uphill. So the thing that challenged me about becoming a follower of Christ was the fact that it challenged everything within me. I like something that challenged me. And I say that Christianity, genuine Christianity, will challenge you and challenge every ounce of manhood in you. And so I want you to know, my friends, it's not for sissies and softies and weaklings and cowards. It's for real he-men, the Christian religion is. So God is looking for men. Jesus went out seeking men. He got fishermen. He got the tax collectors. He got men that was rough and tough and hard to handle. But he brought them with him. And that's been his ministry since. Look down through the corridors of time. Jesus Christ has brought forth some of the most wicked, strong-minded, strong-hearted men of every generation that's turned to follow Christ. But as I said, the artists have done a lot of violence to the Scripture. They've left the wrong impressions about Jesus. And they haven't painted the right pictures about Him. They've done a lot of other harm to religious things. One of the things that they did to us, my friends, the artists have painted angels as some big something floating through the air with long white wings a-floating and long gowns a-floating behind them. Well, I want you to know, my friends, angels don't have wings. And they're not wearing gowns. Now, don't get them mixed up with seraphims and cherubims. I'm talking about angels, the ministering spirits of God to the saints of God. And as a result of it, angels don't need no wings. They don't need wings any more than the Holy Spirit needs wings. So, many times, we've not recognized the presence of God's ministering spirit because we've got the wrong conception in our minds about Christianity. We got wrong views in our mind because the artist painted the angels as something with wings floating around mysteriously. Well, they're everything but that. And I want you to realize that tonight. And then they painted a lot of other things. My friends, that has deceived people. We got the wrong conceptions in our minds. Many things, my friends, that we've taught our children that has led them astray and pointed the wrong way. We stop to realize, for example, Easter is a pagan day. Pagans started Easter. They're the goddess of spring. And yet Baptists and a lot of other folks have incorporated into their worship service. I never have figured out yet how you can get the resurrection of Christ out of chasing rabbits and hunting eggs. I just don't see that. Yet, my friends, if we look, if our young ones are looking for the coming of Jesus, much we do for Easter rabbits and eggs, it'd be a marvelous day. Then I never have understood why that parents go forth putting on Santa Claus and tell them Santa Claus, the mystic of Santa Claus. And I remember when I found out there wasn't no Santa Claus, it liked to wreck me. I've hated it ever since. To think I'd be that big a fool to believe it. But all this Santa Claus stuff comes from paganism. No Christianity in it. And you go, you're so wrapped up in it, you get your youngins. If they was looking for the coming of Jesus like they are looking for the coming of Santa Claus, it'd be a new day. Wouldn't need no revival. They'd all get saved. But no, they're looking for old Whiskers and his red suit and reindeers to come. And most of the parents go around lying to him about 2 months before he gets there, saying, now to Christ, Santa Claus won't come. If you act ugly, Santa Claus comes. You are lying. He'd come if they knocked the window lights out of your house. Because you are so traditionally wrapped up in that stuff, you wouldn't let him not fail to come. No need to lie about it. Just getting, if they're doing wrong, don't lie to them about Santa Claus. Just go and let them act that way, but don't tell them a lie about it. You've heard it. Oh, they're not Christ Santa Claus here. Better be good, Santa Claus won't come. Now, be honest about it. He's going to come, whether they're good or bad, or cry or pitch a fit and tap the hound. He's still coming. Oh, there's so much stuff. Then they got so many songs that we're saying, no truth in it. No truth in it. If some preacher get up in the pulpit and preach as much error as some songs people sing, you'd fire him that day. You used to hear a song, My friends, about each drop of blood cleansed for 1 million years of sin. Never was a bigger lie, son. If each drop cleansed for 1 million years of sin, when all the drops out, then what? No, sir, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansed from all sin. And we need to face reality. And so many other songs along like that, my friends, that sing error, heresy. We ought to be careful what we sing to our people. And if it ain't the truth, leave it off, no matter how good it sounds. And many other things that we've got wrapped up in as Baptist people that we need to clear up and clear the deck for the good things of God to come. Now then, as I said, one of the main things that hit us in this is the fact of angels. We don't get the knowledge of the angels that we should get, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Now, angels are ministering spirits created by God for the ministering to His saints, to His children, to those who shall inherit. That's what God created them for. Now, angels are created beings. Get that in mind. They were created angels. They didn't turn from a human being to an angel. Somebody said, don't you think my dear mother is an angel in heaven? No, she's not going to be. Don't you think my little darling child that died is an angel in heaven? No, ma'am. Your youngins are not angels in heaven and never will be. They're children of God. Created by God, angels were made as ministering spirits. And they were angels when it's created, and they remain angels, and they'll never be nothing else but an angel. Forever they're going to be angels. Now there's over 300 references in the Word of God about the ministry, personal ministry of angels. Over 300 references to it. So it must be important, or God's Word wouldn't give so much references to it. So we must realize, my friends, in the act of creation, the angels, if you please, is the lowest order of spiritual beings. In other words, in the spiritual creation, the angel is the lowest one of all spiritual beings. Now man in creation is lower than an angel. But now let me hasten to say, in the act of regeneration, he becomes higher than an angel. To illustrate what I'm trying to say, Jesus became as man, and when he did, he became lower than the angels. In the act of creation, we're lower than angels. In the act of regeneration, we're higher than angels. We rise up and become the members of God's family, children of God. God becomes our Father, and the angels become our servants to minister to us, to care for us, and to look after us. And that's what God created them for. And my friends, they never have been anything except angels. They never will be anything except angels. They have only one minister to perform. You can't find where they ever ministered to anything except the saints of God and the business of God. They looked after that as servants. So keep in mind, angels are reality. Angels don't have wings. They're ministering spirits that can travel faster than thought. And when God needs to send one of them after me or after you, quicker than you think, they're done there and perform the ministry. Amen. The scripture tells us that the angels stand and behold the face of God day and night. Why are they beholding the face of God day and night? For the simple reason, all of a sudden something fixing to happen to one of you, and God discharges that angel to take care of you, and then he's back before God, waiting for the next order. They move on the orders of God, and they come down to minister to us when we need it. God knows all about us, and he knows when you need help, and he sends an angel to help you. You're his child, you're the heir of God, and he don't want you hurt, and he sends that angel to do it. So we stop to recognize that tonight. And not all of that, they are, my friends, those who minister have different assignments. Every angel has a name. Every angel has a ministry. For example, Gabriel is God's announcing angel. Wherever there's any announcement made, Gabriel makes it. Michael is God's warring angel. Where there's ever any warfare, Michael is commander-in-chief of the warring angels. And on down, you've got different angels assigned to different things. And it's their job to perform it. Just like God's assigned you to different tasks to perform, these angels are assigned to those tasks to perform. And as we think about it, they're trying to help us. And I'd have you realize, my friends, they're important to us. They have a special work to perform. For example, we can stop to remember, my friends, that they performed down through the years. For example, when Abram was offering his only son Isaac, and he'd already lifted the knife to slay Isaac, an angel caught him by the arm and said, "Hold it. There's a supply right there." And Abram looked, and there was a lamb. My friends won the slave. And then we go again, and Hagar was sent from Abraham's house and took the child, and she's going and got out in a desert place where there's no water, where there's no bread, and the little fellow was about to die. And she carries him out and lays him down with some slubbering, and then goes off out here to pray. And the scripture said an angel stood by and said, "Hagar, what's wrong? Your son ain't going to die. There's some water watering." And there the water was. And she watered him and fed him, and he didn't die. An angel told her that. An angel showed that to her. And we stopped to realize they help us so many times. My friends, they have a special work to do. And then they have a special work to do in helping folks to find the right companion in life. One of the most exciting love stories to be found anywhere in the world is the 24th chapter of Genesis. Abram called in his most trustworthy servant and said, "I want you to go over yonder and pick out a girl to be the wife of my son." The old servant said, "If I pick the wrong one, it'll be a terrible thing." And he didn't want to go, but Abram insisted that he go. And on the way over there, he got so loaded down with it, he didn't know what to do. So he went out and got out and prayed, and an angel stood by him and said, "Servant of Abraham, don't worry. You go on. And as you get into the place, you're going to pick her up back." Said, "There'll be young women coming down to the well and getting water in their pots on their shoulders and going back inside. And whichever one offers to water you and the camels, that's her." He got there, women coming down there, and he thought, "Well, that's a pretty girl. I hope it's her." But she'd fill her pot and pay no attention to him. Then another would fill her pot and go back. And I have an idea, the scripture don't say this, but I have an idea that he tried to help out and said, "Would you give me a drink?" "No, I'm not going to water you. I'd have to water all the camels." See, whoever got to go back with him had to water the camels too. About ready to give up and discouraged, one of the angels told him, "Right, here comes a very beautiful girl down there with her pot, and she gets some water and starts back in." "Oh, a traveler. You look awful thirsty. Would you like a drink of my water?" "And sir, if you don't mind, I'll water your camels too." Really? Little did she realize she's going to get to be the daughter of Abraham, daughter-in-law of Abraham. Had she to probably go the well dry right quick. But she watered the men, watered the camels, and she got her water and started back in. He said, "May I come into your house tonight?" She said, "I don't know, but I'll go in and see if it's all right." The brother came back out and said, "Yes, it's all right to come in." He came in and sat down for the supper. And as he sat there, the old servant of Abraham said, Abram sent me over here to get a wife for his son Isaac. You're the one told him what the experience was, how the angel had showed him, told him. And said, would you be willing to go? She said, oh yes. He broke open the engagement box and gave her the engagement jewelry. And said, we have the wedding garments ready. She said, well, in the morning we'll go. And the next morning, they got up and headed out back to where Isaac was. And when they got out in the field, Isaac saw him coming and he walked toward him. And she jumped down off the camel and ran and met him. Said she lighted off the camel. And went down there and they got married. I tell you how young people need to know as they come up that God's interested in who they get in their love affairs. We'd have a lot less divorces and broken homes and wrecked lives if we could get our young people to know that God would take them with angels to the right one if they'd pray for it. They need to know that thing, my brother or sister, that God's ministering angels wants to get them with the right companion in life. They know, God knows, and God can tell young people who they ought to marry, who they ought to live with. And if they let God's angels lead them instead of some kind of honky-tonk roadhouse dance hall nightclub juke joint or something, if they go and let God lead them, we'd have less broken homes and less wrecked lives and a lot more happy people than we've got tonight. God's angels are interested in who you just companion with the rest of your life. God's angels are interested in who's your husband, who's going to be your wife. God knows, and the angels want to tell you. And if you get with them and get close enough to them, they'll show you the right one, and it'll work when you get them. But we've missed that in life. And so, my friends, I want you to realize tonight they're extremely interested in our domestic affairs. And our young people of this age need to know that above everything else. God don't want you to just go along and grab anybody that comes along. He's got somebody created for you that'll live with you and bless you, and you can bless them. And you need to know it. And God's angels will help you find them if you talk to the angels and God about it, or talk to God about it. And he'll send the angels. And that'll solve a lot of marital problems, I'll tell you, if we get back to that. Instead of letting something else come along to match them up together. Then I want you to realize, my friends, not only that, but they know when the hour of distress comes, not only are they interested in the domestic affairs, not only are they interested in the time that distress comes. For example, as I said to you a moment ago, when Hagar went out there, she was in distress about the child going to die. But God's angels ministered to her and showed her where the water was, and showed her where the food was, and the child lived. I remember one time Dr. Harrison Griffin told me this experience about down in the state of Florida, DeLand, Florida. Said they had 11 children. He was a preacher. And they had some sickness and had to mortgage the home to get a doctor. Mortgaged everything they had to borrow a little money. And one night, the man that borrowed the money from came and told him, said, you're going to have to pay that debt, or we're going to put your property on the auction block and auction it off after tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he had no way of getting the money. Going to leave his family without any place to stay or anything to eat. Going to get all their clothes involved in it. He'd just leave them a change of clothes. So that night, he and Miss Griffith got the kids all to bed. And they had a pig lot around them, out from the house, and a big old white oak tree. And they went off out there and got down under that big old white oak tree and called on God. Said, God, we've got those 11 children. We've tried to serve you and honor you. Now we've got no way to protect ourselves. They're going to sell a home tomorrow. Oh, God, help us. And they got under a terrible load out there while the children were asleep. They cried on their knees, wept before God. But then all of a sudden, gotten nudged. Oh, Brother Griffin said, get up, you're on in the house, it's all right. He and his wife got up and went in the house and went to bed and fell asleep. About 2 hours. Hello, Brother Griffin. Brother Griffin. Yeah. Let me in. Got something for you. Got up and left the man in the house and he said, Brother Griffin, that old man's mean. It's going to oak your property off and leave you. He'll take, you won't even have a change of clothes left when he gets through. Nowhere to go, nothing to eat. And I realized it. And God woke me up a while ago and told me to come over here and take care of that for you. And said, Brother Griffin, I found out how much it is. And here's the check. You go pay it off. And you and your wife and children go on and live in that house. You say, oh, what luck, look nothing. It is God's angel. He's on the meter that. He went down to a neighbor's house and got a hold of him and got him to take it up there and gave it to him. That's what it was. Wasn't no luck, it was a pluck of God's angel. That's what it was. I remember up at Savannah, Tennessee, very fine young man surrendered to the mission field, so dedicated. He was so handsome and nice, but poor. And the girl he was dating was the daughter of a multimillionaire family. He surrendered to the mission field. And the parents of the multimillionaire daughter said, you can't marry old Gerald. If you do, we'll disown you. We'll disown you. We'll disinherit you. You won't have anything. And she went and got with Gerald and said, Gerald, I love you more than I love myself. But said, my parents have said they'll disinherit me and I can't inherit anything out of the state if I marry you. I love you, but I'll have to give you up for that. And said, Gerald, they tell me that. But said, look at me, Gerald. I love you more than I love their money and love them right now. And said, if you want me, you can have me. Gerald said, honey, I know what it's all about. They want you to have the best. And I'm conscious we might get hungry. There might be a day if we had children that'd be begging for bread. And it's going to be awful hard and lonely without you, but I give you up so you can stay rich. She said, I'll not do it. If you will marry me, I'm going to marry you. The young ones cry for bread, let them cry. We'll cry with them. And they got married. And the family disinherited them. They went to the mission field. Time went on, they'd had a little boy born. He's 4 years old now. And they got without anything to eat. She saw the food was running out. And she asked Gerald to do it out, and she'd do it out and save the few little morsels of food that they had. But finally, the last bite of it was eaten. Next morning, the little boy got up and coming out of the yard and said, Mommy, what have I done to mean you and Daddy won't give enough to eat? Said, you didn't feed me last night before I went to bed, and you hadn't fed me this morning. Said, how come, Dad? What is it I've done? I'm sorry. I'm hungry. Won't you feed me? He looked over at his wife, and his wife said, I know what you're fixing to say. Said, don't you say it. Said, the God that sent us to this field can take care of our situation. Said, son, you run on out in the yard and play, and Mama will call you when there's something to eat. About, they got down there on their knees, and thanked God that they had health and strength, even though they was hungry, and asked God to take the hungry out of the little fellow's stomach, if he would, so he wouldn't be crying for something to eat. Just satisfy his appetite. But while he's down there praying, there's a man way down in another part of Tennessee plowing a big old farm oil tractor down through a cornfield. That thing got to jumping in a mission. He tried to apply and some said, go up there and take the missionary something to eat. And he tried to apply a little further and it went dead on him. He run the battery down trying to crank it, and then he got scared and went to the house and said to his wife, said, honey, I down there and had this strange experience right in the middle of the cornfield town. Some told me to take some food to the missionary, and I wouldn't do it, and the tractor's gone dead and won't even crank. She said, well, Daddy, you better tell him something. Said, get your pickup and back it up here. And they backed it up to the smokehouse and put pieces of middling meat and hams of meat and shoulder meat and lard and canned goods, filled the back end of that pickup full of stuff, eggs and chicken and butter, got it all loaded. He looked at it and said, where does he leave it? She said, I don't know, that's your problem. Well, he said, it's a real problem. Honey, let's pray. Then they prayed. Something said, you go on up this road. When you get to a certain place where the road turns right, you pull in there. And then when you get to the next road, turn to the left. And in the corner, you will see a little boy out in the yard playing at a house. And that's where this goes. He got in his truck and took off. Got there and found that road turned to the right, and then the next time it turned to the left, as he turned there in the corner, was a little boy playing in the yard. He started to drive by and just see what had happened. The truck went to bucking and like to died on him. He backed up, pulled in that yard, knocked on the door and said, sir, are you a missionary? He said, yes, I am. Said, you and your wife got anything to eat in this house? Said, come in here, let me show you. Pull all the pantry open, not a bite of nothing in the house. Said, we ain't got a bite. Why? He said, the Lord sent you a bite. He backed up and unloaded that pantry floor. And they had a prayer meeting, and the little fellow got fed. They got fed. He went back home, went and parked his truck and got out there in the field. And the first time he stepped on the starter, that old tractor crane, and ran all day long. You say, that's luck, and what need is God's angel. Went down there and got on that fella and said, take my young and something to eat up, and he's hungry. Now, how many times in your life, you older people, has it been when you didn't know where the next bite is coming from? You had an obligation to meet. You didn't know how in the world you're going to meet. It looked like you're going to leave lose your home or lose your property. And all of a sudden, just like a clap out of the sky, it just took care of. You said, oh, what luck. Luck nothing. It's the pluck of God's angel. That's what it was. He knew your need and he worked on the other. That's God's business. He's got his angels look after his young and to minister to you. And see that you don't starve. That's why the old psalmist said, once I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the seed of the righteous forsaken or begging bread. For if God will let his youngins beg bread, he'll send down inside of your house with it. Oh, so many times they've protected you. They've ministered to you. You didn't recognize it. You said it's luck. Luck nothing. Pluck of God's angel. While you need it, God moved on somebody to supply the need. I've experienced it so many times in my life. When it looked like I didn't know which way to go, that was. I remember one day, a woman called me and said, my husband's down on the floor. Having convulsions, he's so lost and so hellbound. He's run liquor spills. He's begging for you. Would you come up here and pray for him? I said, I can't. She said, why? I said, I hadn't got enough gasoline to get up there. Can't you bars get some on the credit? I said, no. If I can, I'll be on. And I started outside And an old railroad man, greased all over his toes, greased his face, greased. He said, "Preacher Ray, I can't go preach. I got to run this train." But said, "Somehow or another, I just want to fill your tank full of gas and give you some money. Would you go win somebody for Jesus?" I grabbed the money. I said, "Yes." Said, "What's your ass?" I said, "I'm going." I backed up and I told him, "Fill my gas tank up with money, with oil and gas," and I give him the money. When I got up there, sure enough, he's lying in the floor with convulsions. He's so under conviction. I got out in the floor with him and led him to Christ. He was so happy. Then he said, "Don't leave. I got to get my boy. He's wrecking too." Brought him in there and God saved him. And we had a jubilee. He said, "You ain't going now." Said, "You don't mind riding in an old ragged Jeep, do you?" I said, "No." Said, "Well, get in and we're going somewhere else." And we headed out in an old Jeep down through some valleys and up some hills and through the woods. He got up on a hill, he honked the horn and said, "Fellas, don't shoot. This ain't no revenue man to share. It's my friend. So don't shoot." Went down under the hill in that valley. They had 500 gallons of mash ready to make distilled liquor out of it, and 300 gallons of still liquor waiting on the truck to come. And he jumped off that Jeep and grabbed the double bit axe and started chopping out the heads of those barrels and letting that liquor run off down the creek. And he got them all chopped up and said, "Now, fellas, get down on your knees. Jesus wants to save you like he did me." The Lord knew they wanted to get saved that morning. And he knew who to touch to supply the need of this preacher. They're going on and preach Jesus to them and tell them how to get saved. Oh, my friends, that's God's ministering angels. That wasn't luck. That was the pluck of God's angels to take care of it. So many times we've missed the blessings of God and the glory of God because we said, "Well, not lucky. Wasn't it good of somebody?" No, it is good of God. Good of God's angels. And then, my friends, not only in the hour of distress and need, but the hours of danger. The hours of danger. Old Peter was being put to death the next morning. He'd already killed James. Because Easter's coming up. They put it off. They put 16 soldiers guarding Peter that night. And old Herod's going to kill him the next morning. But a group went up to Mary's house. Old saint of God's house. Little group of Christians that got to pray and God had spared their preacher, Peter. They was praying up that midnight came. A lot of the critics said that bunch of hooping, crying, hollering Christians ought to be run home. They're keeping people away. Well, I got news to you. God's young. God's much right shout and cry and hoop all night as the devil's crowd has. They just kept calling on God. They didn't want their preacher killed. They got to crying and praying to God, and God sent an angel down there. Peter was tied in locks and stocks and chains. No tired and sleep. Angel went down there and said, "Get up, Peter." He didn't wake up. The angel punched him and said, "Get up. Wake up." He started to get up. The chains fell off him. The lock fell off of him. Said, "Come on, Peter. Come with me." And he woke up there, 16 guards. And that angel done put them to sleep. I can see old Peter. He started to step over one of them. He started to get part of the way. He woke up, started to raise up. And that angel said, "Shh, lay down. Lay down." He stepped over those 16 guards. They were in there. That meant their life the next morning if they let him get out. But every time one of them started to get up, "Come on, Peter, step over him. He ain't gonna bother you." Finally, got through there. They just praying up a storm in there. The little girl went and peeked out a little road here. "Oh, oh, no, glory. He's at the door now. He's at the gate. Your prayers have been answered. They said, no, it's his angel, nothing. It's him. And they opened up the door, and in he walked. Now you talk about a New Testament church a shouting. They had a shouting spell. Said he had to wave them down till he get them quite long enough to tell them what had happened. Now what happened? They were praying for God to spare him because they needed him. And God sent an angel down there and took the chains and locks off of him, got him out among the soldiers, and got the jail door open, got the gate open, and carried him up there and answered the saints' prayers. Old Peter had luck last night. No, he didn't. He had the pluck of God's angel. That's what he had. They got him out of the mess. And my friends, I want you to know, he was delivered from it because the saints of God prayed, but God used an angel to get him out of this danger. And I want you to know, my friends, many times, some of you have been in dangers like that, and all of a sudden it just cleared away. And you said, what luck? Luck, nothing. It's the pluck of God's medicine angel. That's what it was. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what happened. There's another in the 17th chapter of Acts. My friends, Paul, they'd been out there and fasted and prayed 14 days drifting in the sea. And it said an angel stood by Paul that night and said, Paul, you can quit your fasting. God has heard, and the ship's going to tear it, but not a one of them going to get hurt. And old Paul went out and said to the fellows on the ship with him, get up and eat you something, put your clothes on. We're going to wreck, but ain't none of us going to get hurt. An angel has just stood by me and told us to break the fast. The ship's going to wreck, and we're going to get out of it. A little while, that ship crashed, and all of them got out, and one of them didn't harm a one of them. None of them got crippled, nothing hurt. Who said that? God's angel. If you read it, told Paul, it is God's angel. He came down there and wrecked that ship and got them off from the drift of the ship. And then they went out there and built a fire to dry the clothes, and the snake bit old Paul, and as a result, he flung it off, and the natives said he'll die. The enemies of God are against him, but he didn't die. And when they saw he didn't die, then they had a revival, and a gang of them got saved out there. What brought all that on? God's ministering angel went down to take care of Paul and his men on the ship. And my friends, many times the devil's crowds try to destroy you. All of a sudden, miraculously, you just come out without a scratch. You said, oh, look, nothing is a pluck of God's angel. That's what it was. Pluck of God's angel. So many times he's delivered us from danger. And I want you to know, my friends, many times of distress and of danger. I remember one time over at Dalton, Georgia, Brother Broom told me about an experience. He's going to take a man that's lost out on the fishing lake. And he always prayed, read a scripture, prayed every morning before he got out of the house. But he'd promised to meet that fellow out there. He woke up late, his alarm clock didn't go off. He jumped up and went out of the house without reading that verse and praying like he used to do. Started down the street, trying to get out there so the fellow wouldn't lose confidence in him. And when he got started down the street, something just kept telling him, pull over. Pull over and pray a minute. Pull over and pray a minute. But he just went on. And when he run out of the side street into the main highway, a car hit him, tore his car up and broke his ribs. Now, if he'd have done what he's supposed to do, he'd have pulled over a minute. And my friends, many, it is God's angel trying to pull him over and protect him. Many times we have things happen because we don't mind God's angel. My friends, God's angel is watching after you. If you will listen to God's angel and let God's angel take care of you, he'll save you a lot of trouble down the road.
He has me. And he has others. I remember years ago, I was going to dedicate 8 church buildings one day. Dr. Lee was going to preach all 8 of the new buildings. Now, if he'd have done what he's supposed to do, he'd have pulled over a minute. And my friend, so many, it is God's angel trying to pull him over and protect him. Many times we have things happen because we don't mind God's angel. My friends, God's angel is watching after you. If you will listen to God's angel and let God's angel take care of you, he'll save you a lot of trouble down the road. He has me. He has others. I remember years ago, I was going to dedicate 8 church buildings one day. Dr. Lee was going to preach all 8 of the new buildings. We're going to start early in the morning. And on Saturday before, Friday before, I made around all the church keepers all ready for the dedication on Sunday. And I was coming in about 2 o'clock in the morning. And you come in the road this way, and the street run this way, but buildings, the bank, and cafes and things down this street. This street just run into it. Then you turn and go, and right down there was a railroad, Southern Railroad. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd gone to sleep. I was so tired. I pulled in there and made that curve, made that right angle turn, not knowing. But just before I hit that railroad section, I said, I slammed on the brakes and jumped out and looked everywhere, and there wasn't nobody around. But about that time, zoom, went by a fast train, making 80 miles an hour. I wouldn't be here tonight. You know what that was? God's angel. God's angel. God's ministering spirit wanted me to stay around a while longer. He woke me up. I want you to know he gets us out of danger. I was talking to a dear man not long ago, and he went down the old home place, and it had burned down nothing but a big old chimney, brick chimney. Stood there, and he'd go down and get out behind that chimney and pray every day. That is just prayer ground. One day he went down there and got out on his knees to pray. And something got to say, get out of here, you're going to get hurt. Get out of here, something's going to happen. He said, that's the devil. And said, something said, get down there in that tree and pray. Don't stay here. And he got up and started towards the tree and heard something and looked, and that brick timber had fallen right where he'd been praying. What was it? God's angel getting him out of there. So he'd stay around and pray a while longer. Wasn't luck. It is the puck of God's angel. It's the puck of God's angel. My friend, so many times, you're a little one almost got killed, but something got it out of the way. Your little child almost got killed, but something got it out of the way. Oh, what? Not nothing is a fuck of God's ministering angels. Looking after you and looking after you young ones. That's what God created them for. And that's what they exist for. Is to minister to me and you. They're the ministering spirits of God. We've been seeing so many heresies, my friends, that we've lost sight of the ministering of God's angels. Then not only that, but my beloved dear man, in the time of peril, perilous days come when, oh, Nebuchadnezzar built a gold god and said everybody bow when music's played. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we'll not bow to your heathen god. The music was played, and they marched by, and they didn't bow. Made old Nebuchadnezzar so mad, he just couldn't stand it. He called him in and said, you didn't obey, you didn't bow. We're going to have music one more time. If you don't bow, we'll kill you. We'll have you put to death. I have the authority. So get yourselves ready. And they started music again, everybody bowed. But them 3 boys marched on right on by, high-headed, stiff-kneed, stiff-fingered, stiff-toed. That made the king so mad. Over near they had a furnace, they throw a man in and burn him to death. But the gunsmith said, heat that furnace 7 times hotter than your ordinary heated to kill him.
and bind them and put them in there. They defied me and my God. They bound them. They got the furnace turned up and turned up and turned up, and it got 7 times hotter than it ordinarily was. Said, all right, throw them in there. And he stood there. Chill. 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 They went in, but the fire gushed out and burned the ones to death that was putting them in there. Their ashes was left in front of the place. The old king got upset. He wondered. He said, I've got to go down and see what happened. Hey! Hey! How many did it throw in? 3. Why, king? 3. I see the 4th one in there now, and he looks like the Son of God. Come on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they came out, didn't even change your hair, didn't scorch your clothes, didn't harm you. Because God's angel was in there with them. A lot of times the devil's tried something, had some of you leaders in the church killed and burned, but all of a sudden something happened and you came on out about a scratch for the glory of God. That is God's angel getting you out of there. That's God's angel getting you through that. What luck? It is the angels of God. Then you remember when Daniel prayed 3 times a day, they had a law passed, any man prayed this God. In 30 days they put him to death. And so as a result, come time for Daniel to pray, he prayed again. And he violated the laws. According to the Medes and Persians, all which meant it couldn't be enough. So as a result, they said, go and feed him to the lions. Instead of having electric chairs and gas chambers, they just fed him to the lions. Lion eating. They'd fed a lot of people to them lions, and they knew what to eat. Said, Daniel, you're going to quit that prayer. Come time, he got out again. And prayed. Said, just well, put him in there. And I can hear those chains rattling. Those gates are clicking. Said, boy, you're going to quit. He just went right on. And they shoved him in and clapped those gates and chained them. Every old lion in there backed up, licking his top. Saying about that good fresh blood and good fresh meat that young man's going to have. And when they pushed him in, they all, with one great, leap. But when they leap, God locked their paws and locked their jaws. And Daniel could rub their mane and not be hurt. All night long, he slept. I can see those old lions kind of raise up and lift their lips and taste that good fresh blood. Start to get up and he said, Ham, shut up. Don't wake him. God, young man. Don't you roar and wake that mess. That's God, young man. The king didn't sleep that night. He didn't eat that night. He went down the next morning and said, oh, Daniel. Daniel! Oh, king, is that you? You woke me up. I've had a good night. He said, how come they didn't eat you? Said, God's angels spent the night with me and made them behave while I slept. Have you ever counted the nights when God's angels watched over you while you slept and didn't let nothing happen to you and your family? A lot of times the devil and the devil stops come to get you and destroy you, and God's angels say, let them alone, they're God's angels. Stop! Leave them alone, they're God's angels. They're God's angels. Leave them alone. They're God's angels. Oh, how many times of peril have I delivered? Then, my friends, when they start to lay hands, there is an angel. All I'd have to do is tell him. You see, old Michael destroyed 285,000 one night, about a split second. Out there in Syria, you know.
come along. 285,000 ready to charge in next morning. Come along. They all dead. They opened up the gates next morning, saw them out there, scared those people there. And they slammed the gates, got rid of war, and went out there and didn't have none but 285 corpses lying out there. The angel did it, the book said. And I can see old Michael saying, Lord, if you can't look up and tell me to come, just wave your finger. I'll get the whole crowd. But Jesus stayed him up there. He said, if I want to, I could call 12 legions of them down here. Wouldn't be nothing left of any. What are you saying tonight, preacher? I'm saying my Lord and your Lord has millions of ministering spirits standing tonight looking at him. And he said, Charles, where are you? Down there and take care of Charles. Back in attendance. Reuben Edmonds and me done took care of him back in attendance looking dark. Faster than life. Faster than anything you can think. God sends his ministering spirit and nobody can stop a spirit. He can go through jails. He can go through fires. He can go through everything else and minister to us. That's who he is. The angels of God, my friends. Then they're going to take us home. Hallelujah. Going to look after us till we're ready to go, and then they're coming to take us. Some years, some time ago, a young man called me and said, Brother Ray, mother's about to pass away. She's been begging to see you all day yesterday, part of the day. I know how busy you are. Well, she's begged so hard to see you. Is there any way you can arrange to come and see her before she dies? I said, yes, as soon as I can change clothes, I'll drive out. Godly old woman. She didn't know a lot, but she knew God. She's a widow woman. About 2 months after the 14th child was born into the family, her husband died. There she is with 14 children already. Lived in an old log house with wooden shutter windows and sticking dirt chimneys. Way out in the country. Didn't have much of this world's goods, which had a lot of God. And every Sunday she'd hitch up two old mules from an old surrey and take those kids to church. If her church went for a month without giving anything to mission, she'd hitch an old mule to a buggy she had. Go around and get pigs and calves and eggs and butter and milk. Take it down, set it, and go back and say to the treasurer of the church, we folks give something to missions. Here's some mission money. Send it to the mission team. That's the kind she was. Well, it wasn't hard for me to want to go see her. So I dressed and got over there and had to park the car about a half a mile. The roads were up just in old pine woods down there. Old-fashioned log house. I walked down there and went in. She's lying down on an old homemade bedstead made out of rough lumber. And the mattress is made out of grass. They'd gone out in the field and pulled and crammed in a pit. She's lying there. I went in and I said, honey, do you know who I am? Said, you're Preacher Ray. Said, oh, I told them if they'd let you know you'd come. I've been wanting to see you all yesterday and today. Said, Preacher, I'm going home in a little while. I said, why, honey? I knew what she meant. I said, why, honey? You already home? She said, no, I ain't. You know what I mean. And she had a white sheet over her. Said, pardon me. She pulled that sheet down to her waistline, picked up her white cloth, and cancer had eat her chest and you could see her heart beating. Terrible suffering. She said, Preacher, the doctor said when it hit the artery, I'd go in a few hours, and said it hit it yesterday. He said, I'll be going home today. And I know you're a busy man, and I know how much you got on you. But would it be asking too much of you to stay around with the children until I go home? I said, honey, if it's all day today, all night, tonight, and tomorrow, I'll be here, God be my helper. I wouldn't leave you here by yourself.
The kids was all there waiting. About a little before 4 o'clock, she said, "Preacher Ray," I said, "I'm right here, honey." I got a hold of her hand. She said, "Would you mind going out and telling all the children to come in to the house?" They're sitting on the shade tree. Didn't have no electric, no air conditioning, nothing, just no house. I went down and said, "All your children come in. Mother wants you in here." All 14 of those children gathered in the room. And I stood up there at the head of the bed with them. She raised up on her elbows and said, "Do y'all see the angels?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "Well, they're here." Her oldest daughter ran and slipped her elbows out of and kissed and laid her back on the pillow. Said, "Mama, don't get excited. You're all right." She said, "I'm not excited." Daughter said, "Do you think I ought to get the hypodermic and give her a shot?" The doctor left a loaded needle. I said, "No, don't leave the room, honey. She's going." She raised back up in bed and said, "Preacher, do you see him there on the foot of my bed?" I said, "Who?" She said, "God's angels. There they are." She said, "They've come for me." She looked at the children and smiled, said, "Children, mother will see you in the morning when you get home. Goodbye." And she went. You know what it was? God's angels come down them down. "You want scripture, Ruth?" "Sure, I got scripture." "Lazarus the beggar died, and the angels come and took him to Abraham's bosom. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." I looked over Jordan, and what did I see coming for to carry me home? I want you to know when it comes time for you to go, you won't have to go. You've got a ride already paid for by the blood of the Lamb. You've already got a ride. And there won't be no scratching up to put her out of business. She'll go through all of it. God's going to send angels, and they're going to carry. That's what the book said. He's going to look after you. As long as you toil and labor, you get in trouble, there's his angels. There's the ministry spirit. You're in danger, there's the ministry spirit. There's the ministry spirit protecting you and your family. There they are. There they are. God created them. They're your servants. God put them down there to be your servants. They're looking at it. And when it comes time to go home, he'll send them and they'll load you up and you're gone. Isn't God wonderful? Don't go around saying what luck. Next time say thank you God for the pluck of your life. Get lucky, it's a pluck of God's angels. Next time you almost have an accident, you're young and get nearly killed. Oh, what wasn't I lucky? No, you wasn't lucky. You was a plucky of God's angels. That's what it was. God's so good. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God good? Think about how many times he's protected us and kept us alive and protected your children. Think about how many times he's helped you. Think about how many times he's blessed you. Oh, isn't God wonderful? Wonderful God is. Wonderful God is. And we're all on a crowd and bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
I'm glad it's real. This world doesn't have the money to buy what's in my soul tonight. And thank God you can't take it away. In fact, the devil can't take it away. All that God ever done for you, the devil can't take it away. Amen. Boy, I appreciate that message tonight. I thought tonight, my God, where are you going tonight, Doc? I found out right quick. Amen. You say, I wouldn't do that for nothing. You lie to act like a toad frog if you ain't careful. Amen. You liable to act plumb peculiar before you get out here tonight. God might put something on you that you can't get over. Amen. I seen a feller one time in Danville, Virginia, make fun of a feller for shouting. And he didn't like that. He's serious. He didn't like that. But I tell you, I saw that boy that night before the night was over. I saw him skinning little old poppers as big as my thumb. And I mean, he was in that thing. You say, oh, he didn't. He did. I saw that with my own eyes. He didn't like shouting his or shouting his. Turn that tabernacle down. That old boy made light of that thing. And before that night got over, God got on him, and he's climbing saplings. You say, I wouldn't do it. You just better be careful. God might make you get under a car and bark like a dog before it's over with. I guarantee you. Boy, that's good, ain't it? He said to praise him.
Let me say something else I didn't get through saying. I want to say it.
Said it, Doc.
Said Jesus is coming to glory the Father with his holy angels. And they'll reward every man according to his work. You know what the angels are coming for? They're going to have a payroll. They're paying for everything they've done. They're coming with a payroll. 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 That's what he said. That's what he said. They're coming to the Father with a payroll. The whistle's blown, the trumpet's sounding. Here it comes, and the angels got the payroll. 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 Payroll.
Wind him up again, Lord. Yeah, I like that. That's that man of putting that song back. Amen. Amen. Wasn't it good? Help yourself. Boy, I've been looking for this. I tell you, I want it. You don't want yours, just ask the Lord to give it to me. Amen. I think I can handle it tonight. Amen. I think I can handle it. Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you're saved? The Lord said to praise him. You say, well, that ain't the way you do it. Well, how do you praise the football team? Come on, boys. Run. Get on with it. Score a touchdown, boys. Lord God, you say, glorify the Lord. God, help this pitiful outfit. Lord, if it comes on me, I don't care if I'm in the middle of town. The mayor don't know nothing about my salvation. And I ain't concerned about what he says. It don't bother me one bit about what you say. If God moves on you, honey, get on it. And just bless God, swap flies with the devil or for the Lord and kill him. Amen. And just get on with it. Amen. Oh, that's good. I'd like to stay here all night.
Amen.
Stay here all night. Amen. All right. Lord, help. I don't know what to do. Doc, you turn me a little bit back.
You say this is all in the flesh. I'd hate to be around you if it wasn't no flesh. I'm glad.
How you like that dose of apples?
I'm glad it's in the flesh so I can see what follows.
Amen. It's in the flesh so you can see it. Amen. You say, well, all that's in the flesh, preacher. Well, don't you never hug your wife and kiss her now, because that's in the flesh. That's bad. That's bad. Now, don't you look at me like that. Right? God, help yourself, Jack. Come on. I knew somebody would do something.
I ain't never done this all my life, and I know why. I told my Sunday school class last Sunday or Sunday before, I don't remember which. That's bad that God loved bald-headed people. And fat people. Ugly people. And mean people. I got witnesses here to prove what I'm saying. I'm glad he loves truck drivers. Wicked, evil, mean, lying people. And you know, I fit every one of them. I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm talking about me. See here. I ain't never felt so good in my life. But don't you ever make fun of me for doing this. Don't you ever say I won't do that because I went to Myrtle, Mississippi. And I wouldn't tell this for nothing if Dr. Ray wasn't right over there to back me up. I went down there and I made fun of an old boy. He took an old commode ball up there. If you're in a hurry, go home, just go on. But he took an old commode ball up there. He put 7 toothpicks in that thing, and I said, man, that band's up there just to make a show. And I told Brother Williams, we come home, he said, you better not say that. And I did. I said it anyway. And I was coming down Interstate 40 in my truck, and for about a week there, I couldn't sleep. My son right back there was at home, and his mama will tell you the same thing. I couldn't sleep. And the old boy, I forgot what his name is, one of the evangelists from Myrtle, come up to our church, Emmanuel Baptist, and preached, and I got a conviction. I owed a man $22. Boy, I hate to tell this. I owed it to him for 22 years. Honest for God, I owed him $22 for 22 years. And I swore I wouldn't pay it. I said I didn't do it. And he revealed that to me up there at night. And I went to the altar, and I got right with God and asked him to forgive me. And I went to the Valdez the next day on my run. And I put $22 in an envelope and mailed it to that man, didn't say a word. I figured God was in it, he didn't know what it was for. And I was coming down the road in my truck. I'm trying my best to make a long story short. But God just told me, he said, you're going to Myrtle, Mississippi next week. And God, I'd been planning on that for weeks. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take $22 down there. And before anybody else gives an offering, I want you to run up there and interrupt Brother Ray. When he starts to pray, I said, Mike, you kill me. I can't do that. And I sat back there, and I had that money even in my hand. And I said, Lord, I can't do it. Why, he'll throw me plumb out of here. And I'm a pretty big boy. He's a pretty big boy, too.
I told you.
I run up there, and I interrupted. His little girl started up there with some money in her hand. I beat her. But I was supposed to be the first. Am I not telling? I give that man $22. And you know what he started doing? When I thought God wasn't in it and he was fixing to throw me out, he started shouting and walking back and forth behind me. He said, I've been trying for almost a year to build this building over here. And he said, God just now showed me through an old truck driver from North Carolina that I'm building it just exactly half as big as God wants it. And I'm trying to build it for $12,000 and it's going to take $22,000. And 6 months later, when I went down there, me and Brother Wilburn was the first one to sleep in that new dormitory that God built, started off with $22. Thank you.
Amen. You say, the Lord don't talk to me. Well, he sure does do me sometimes. In fact, it gets pretty rough with me once in a while. Looks like some of you got rough with you, too. Thank God. Well, I tell you, I like this. This is my kind. Amen. Thank God. Well, I appreciate that message tonight. God help. I'm a little bit worried about Brother Ray, but I've been worried about myself. Amen. Thank God. Let's stand if we can. Amen. How many of you are glad you're saved? Say amen. All right. Just go home if you can. Be back tomorrow night. Thank God. That's all I know to do. I've had time tonight. Thank God.